Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this edition of the Insane Things podcast, where we count down the most insane things of the week with only one qualification. They have to be things we've never seen before or that we've never seen in the modern world, like during our lifetimes. It's insane that I can do this every week, but these are the times we live in. Let's get started. An insane thing we've never seen before: a president of the United States sentenced to nothing, no time, which is totally appropriate for a fake crime. Nobody has ever been in human history convicted of violating this series of crimes but Donald J. Trump, which shows you how very fake it is. Remember, just to string this thing up, they had to take a dead misdemeanor and combine it with a broken federal law, which you can't prosecute in a state court, in order to get to this bizarre 34-count victory. I'm sorry, that was a Freudian slip. Victory for the left. Felony. 34 of them. During the sentencing, Trump raged at the judge that he was totally innocent and unleashed on him, and he should have. Remember, the only real criminal here is Judge Merchan. He's guilty of violating a New York law that says if you have a member of your family who stands to profit from a case before you as a judge, you must recuse yourself from that case. Well, he gagged Trump to keep Trump from talking about his daughter, who's just 30 years old, but miraculously somehow is the president of a company paid tens of millions of dollars to do advertising for Democrats. Which Democrats? The Kamala Harris campaign, the Joe Biden campaign, the Adam Schiff campaign, and the Democrat Senatorial Committee. In a just world, we'd be awaiting Judge Merchan's sentencing. But never fear, that's just one of dozens of potential avenues of appeal. This case is such a joke that the second we get this case to a normal American court and out of the post-constitutional, post-American Democrat kangaroo court system, this thing is going to be overturned so fast, Merchan's head will spin. And Merchan knows it. That's the part of this everybody's missing, the big part. See, less than 6 weeks ago, Judge Merchan announced that he was going to freeze the case. Why? So that the Democrat media, in other words, those paying his family via his daughter, so that the Democrat media could continue calling Trump a felon for the next 4 years. Because as long as the case was frozen and there was no sentencing, then he could not appeal. It's actually the worst option. The worst option for Trump, that is, because he can't clear his name. Then suddenly, this week, out of nowhere, Merchan reversed course just days before Trump is to be sworn in, probably so they can call him a convicted felon over and over and over again. You know what I think this is actually about? Trump is catching fire. Not in a bad way like LA, but in a good way. He's dominating the media. His popularity is growing. And as this wildfire news cycle, which for the first time, Democrats can't control with their careful narrative cultivated by the mainstream media, which is to say lies. For the first time since I've been a reporter, and I've been a reporter since I was in high school, for the first time I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I was just yelling about this all week, we are setting the narrative. We are playing the gatekeeper. We got close to this in 2016. It's why Trump won, because he was so good at using social media, and that was before censorship. But we weren't actually setting the narrative, but we did have enough clicks, likes, and hits on social media to go toe-to-toe with the likes of the New York Times and the LA Times and ABC, NBC. No, that's all done. The mainstream media is dead. It can't save the Democrats. anymore. And what I'm seeing is whatever trends down the side of X, in other words, whatever our folks with X accounts decide is the news, quickly becomes the news on X. And then hours later on Topic Pulse, the app that I have that my company pays thousands of dollars a month for, hours later on Topic Pulse, it's the news. Sometimes it's days later. We set the agenda now, and it's not a left-wing lie. And this is how the Democrats are desperately trying to get LA off the front pages with a Trump sentencing. Ultimately, this is actually better than Trump, like I said, because he'll be able to get it in court and get it through the appeals process so quickly because it's such a mess. But this is literally the last card the Democrats have to play. That is, unless somebody, you know, unleashes another virus or crashes the grid. Insane thing number four. I never thought I'd live to see this one. Mark Zuckerberg switches sides, decides he's no longer going to be a dark Jedi. He's come in from the dark side and decided to join the force. Not only is he ending censorship and adopting the same operational style with community notes that Elon Musk has put in place, but he has actually pledged, and this was the big news everybody missed with the Zuckerberg thing this week, he's actually pledged to fight censorship in other countries. And he seems pretty damn enthusiastic about it too. Talk about a total 180. It could change everything for us.
We're going to work with President Trump to push back on governments around the world that are going after American companies and pushing to censor more. The U.S. has the strongest constitutional protections for free expression in the world. Europe has an ever-increasing number of laws institutionalizing censorship and making it difficult to build anything innovative there. Latin American countries have secret courts that can order companies to quietly take things down. China has censored our apps from even working in the country. The only way that we can push back on this global trend is with the support of the U.S. government. And that's why it's been so difficult over the past 4 years when even the U.S. government has pushed for censorship. By going after us and other American companies, it has emboldened other governments to go even further. But now we have the opportunity to restore free expression, and I am excited to take it.
Look, we'll see what he actually does. But again, not only does he sound pretty enthusiastic, this is going way above and beyond what it would take to simply make make Trump happy, kiss the ring. He could have simply said, you know what? I'm not going to censor conservatives anymore. You're done here. This guy is signing on to fight the dark side. Heck, even just by saying what he said, he declares war on the Democrat Party. He does, and they will come for him like the hounds of hell the second they get power back. All they need is the presidency, and they'll start working on putting him in prison in a cell next to Elon Musk. So this, for him to just even say this, is a big deal. Insane thing number three is really overall the freaky way Trump has of saying brilliant stuff that he sees coming. Everybody laughs, mainly the mainstream media, and then it happens. Folks, I got to tell you, to me, the audio cut of the week, it's actually really a video cut, is Donald Trump standing next to Gavin Newsom, governor of California, 2018, and they're standing in a burnt out forest because there's been another forest fire. And of course, there is, because the Democrats since the 70s in the state of California have gone to war against food, specifically farmers. And their weapon of choice has been withholding water, supposedly to protect a little fish called the Delta smelt. And they've diverted billions of gallons of it a year that normally would flow down through California. Anyway, the video from CBS is Trump standing next to Gavin Newsom, 2018, begging him to stop this.
It's cleaned out and protected. You got to take care of the floors, you know, the floors of the forests. Very important. You look at other countries where they do it differently, and it's a whole different story. I was with the president of Finland, and he said, we have a much different, we're a forest nation. He called it a forest nation. And they spend a lot of time on raking and cleaning and doing things, and they don't have any problem. And when it is, it's a very small problem. So I know everybody's looking at that.
Even crazier, just 4 months ago, Donald Trump gave a speech in LA, in which he promised that he would get the water flowing again if California voted for him. In fact, he tried to, but Gavin Newsom blocked him. That was between 2018 and today. So Trump looks prophetic. Gavin Newsom looks bad. And the Democrat media can't cover for them anymore. By Friday, after a week of actual real news about the fires, what caused them on X, Gavin Newsom and Mayor Karen Bass were being literally yelled at in the streets by their own liberal constituents, who now realize what these people have been doing all these years. And naturally, Trump poured gasoline on the fire, challenging Gavin Newsom in a post on Truth Social. Quote, immediately go to Northern California and open up the water main and let the water flow into his dry, starving, burning state instead of having it go out into the Pacific Ocean, he challenged Newsom. No more excuses from this incompetent governor. It's already far too late. Yeah, let that percolate on X over the weekend. Insane thing number two, Donald Trump throwing down the gauntlet at his press conference earlier this week. The last thing in the world anybody would have guessed it would be about would be buying Greenland. But by the time I dug into this, by the end of the week, it actually was insane that we've never tried to do this before. Well, actually, we have tried to do this before. Here's the New York Post reporter who broke the story.
But really, when you look back at the history of the United States and Greenland, we've been trying to acquire Greenland since the 1860s. We tried again right after World War II. And it's because of these rare earth elements that are so important. And we've actually been in this really critical, quiet competition with Russia and China.
As you may have noticed, America dominates the tech industry in innovation. And just about everything we dominate in requires rare earth minerals. See, we're going to have to continue developing our tech because we don't really have any other industries besides mining. And you saw what the Democrats did, putting that off limits all of the coast to drilling. Besides that, we don't have a lot of big growth in industries in this country. And we're soon not going to have tech either because the Chinese control 70% of the world's rare earth minerals. Worse, they've been trying to cut deals to get the wealth of rare earth minerals in Greenland. And America, in its usual naive fashion, at least for the swamp, hasn't been doing a damn thing to counter China as it cruises all over the world buying up mines and as the Democrats dutifully close what few mines we have in America. For environmental purposes, of course, not to help China. Okay, but what's this about Canada becoming the 51st state? Well, does anybody know, I mean, besides Greenland, where there is one of the largest rare earth mineral reserves on earth? Canada. Do you see where this is going? And who would you guess is Canada's main partner in a lot of these mines? China. Although recently they've begun to rethink that and they want to divest. Now, when did a lot of these deals with China go down? Biden administration. Specifically after Joe Biden knifed Canada in the back over the Keystone Pipeline. That was a massive deal with Canada. And Canada quickly learned, look, Democrats come in office, you cannot count on them. And they turned right around and sold some of that oil to China. Well, they then began to cut deals with China to buy the rare earth minerals. We frantically need to begin to counter China and secure these rare earth minerals, or the one large growth industry we have, we're not going to have, or we're going to be dependent on China for. Naturally, during the Biden administration, with Democrats in charge, and Democrats would never, ever, ever even accidentally do anything to help America, all of these Chinese deals were cut with Canada. But in 2022, that began to change. November 2022, the government of Canada ordered the divestiture of investments by three Chinese state-connected entities in Canadian critical minerals companies. So Trump spent the better part of the week beating Canada up and rightfully saying, we don't need Canada to produce 20% of our automobiles anymore. All they do is assemble Chinese parts anyway. And we don't need their dairy, and we certainly don't need their forests. And he has been threatening to slap them with tariffs. What he really wants is the rare earth minerals, a total lock on the rare earth minerals in terms of buying them. And he wants China shut out. I don't have a source for that. It's just really obvious. Listen to him as he was asked yesterday at a second press conference about it in Mar-a-Lago. You can see what he's doing. He is positioning to get the Greenland and the Canadian rare earth minerals, or one, at least one of the two. We're going to need them, or we're going to be in a load of hurt.
I called them Governor Trudeau because they should be the 51st state, really. It would make a great state. And the people of Canada like it. They pay lower taxes. They have virtually no military. They have a very small military. They pay less than 1%. They're about the lowest payer in NATO. They're supposed to pay much more. They haven't been paying. And I say from the standpoint of the United States, we're subsidizing Canada $200 and $250 billion a year. We have massive deficits. They've taken about 20% of our car business. I'd rather do it here. We could put tariffs on. We don't have tariffs on them yet, but they will. That will happen. But they've taken about 20% of our car business. I'd rather have it done in Detroit or have it done in South Carolina or any other state that does cars, and we have a lot of them. We don't need Canada for that. We don't need Canada for lumber because we have big forests that we have, you know, not utilized. We're, in some cases, they're protected, which I can take that protection off. And you take down a tree and you grow a better tree. That's, you know, pretty common. But we don't need anything. We don't need their fuel. We don't need their energy. We don't need their oil and gas. We don't need anything that they have. And I said to Trudeau, I said, why are we subsidizing you $200 and $250 billion a year? He said, I really don't know. And I said, well, I don't know either. I said, what would happen to Canada if we didn't? He said Canada would be obliterated if that happened. I said, then Canada should be a 51st state. And that's where we are now.
So you see, there's a lot of room there for negotiation. And I've got a feeling he's just getting started. Speaking of negotiation, one of my favorite clips of the week got almost no notice. And it was totally awesome. Trump was standing next to his envoy for the Middle East. And he was asked, you know, will there be a hostage deal with Hamas by January 20th, because, you know, hostages held by Hamas include 7 Americans, which Joe Biden pointedly did not give a damn about. Well, Trump practically pushes his envoy aside and says this.
If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East. And it will not be good for Hamas. And it will not be good, frankly, for anyone. All hell will break out. I don't have to say anymore, but that's what it is. And they should have given them back a long time. They should have never taken them. There should have never been the attack of October 7th. People forget that. Many people are killed. They're no longer hostages. I have people from Israel and others calling, begging me to get, you know, we had also people there from the United States, just so you know. They're holding some so-called hostages from the U.S. But I've had mothers come to me and fathers crying, can I get the body of their son back? Can I get the body of their daughter back?
Notice something there. Trump didn't threaten to unleash hell on Hamas, the people holding the hostages. He didn't threaten to unleash hell on Gaza, the place where the hostages are likely being held. He threatened to unleash hell on the Middle East. See the distinction? Yeah, they heard that loud and clear in Tehran, because that's exactly who he was talking to. Finally, insane thing number one, this bombshell from a Joe Rogan, Mel Gibson interview. It's a topic I've wondered about and been interested in for a long time. Can the dog antiparasitic fenbendazole cure cancer? If you want to know what the number one trending thing today on X has been, it's Joe Rogan's interview with Mel Gibson when he randomly dropped this.
I'll tell you a good story.
Okay.
I have 3 friends. All 3 of them had stage 4 cancer. All 3 of them don't have cancer right now at all. And they had some serious stuff going on.
And what did they take?
Jesus. They took some, what you've heard they've taken.
Ivermectin.
Fenbendazole.
Fenbendazole, yeah.
That's,
yeah, I'm hearing that a lot.
There's drank hydrochloride something or other.
There's studies on that now where people have proven that
people
they've
drinking methylene blue and stuff like
that. Yeah, methylene blue, which was a fabric dye.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a textile dye. And now they find it has profound effects on your mitochondria.
Yep.
Yeah.
This stuff works, man.
There's a lot of stuff that does work, which is very strange. Mm-hmm. Because, again, it's profit. When you hear about things that are demonized and that turn out to be effective, you always wonder, well, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
How is our medical institutions, how have they failed us so that things that do cure you are not promoted because they're not profitable? That they can't control it. They don't have a patent on it. Whether it's vitamin D, K2, and magnesium,
yep.
You know.
Well, yeah.
Zinc and quercetin.
I do all that stuff.
Okay, yeah, that's the actor Mel Gibson, not the doctor Mel Gibson. And I know Mel Gibson can be a little kooky. But I've been interested for a very long time in the question of whether fembendazole could cure cancer. Back before our liberal elites declared that we are not allowed to take dewormers of any kind, back when no one batted an eye at that kind of thing, Coco 5 News in Edmond, Oklahoma, ran the story of Joe Tippin. So they're your typical local TV newscast. Take a listen to how Joe Tippin's cured his cancer.
Well, when you tell someone that a medicine for dogs cured your cancer, you better be ready for some skeptics. But Joe Tippin says it did save his life and others. And now even cancer researchers are open to the possibility it might be true.
My neck, my liver, my pancreas, my bladder, in my bones, it was everywhere.
2 years ago, Joe Tippin says he was told to go home, call hospice, and say his goodbyes. The doctors were unanimous. He was going to die of small cell lung cancer.
Once that kind of cancer goes that far afield, the odds of survival are less than 1%, and the median life expectancy is 3 months.
Tippin says he went from 220 pounds to 110, but that was January of 2017. Today, Tippin's is very much alive, and what he credits for his survival has doctors scratching their heads and the rest of us raising eyebrows.
About half the people think I'm just crazy, and half the people want to know more and dig deeper.
Tippin says he got a tip, not from a pharmacist, but a veterinarian. And in his desperation, he turned from people medicine to dog medicine, specifically fembendazole, or what you give a dog when it has worms.
Truth is stranger than fiction, you know?
Just 3 months later, Tippin says his cancer was gone.
I'm usually skeptical, and I was, and maybe still am, about this one. But there's an interesting background to this.
Cancer researchers like Stephen Prescott are skeptical, but they also are not dismissing this anti-parasitic's potential. He says Tippin's is not the first person to potentially benefit, and maybe not the last.
Scientists at many credible places have done work on this for years.
But was it the dog dewormer, or was it something else? Tippin's took the dog medicine with daily vitamin E supplements and CBD oil. He was also taking an experimental cancer-fighting drug. But Tippin says out of the 1,100 patients on that clinical trial, he was the only one cleared of cancer. Tippin says he was saved by the dog dewormer, and he plans to take it for the rest of his life.
Well, my insurance company spent $1.2 million on me with traditional means before I switched to a $5 a week medicine that actually saved me.
Prescott says he's now working with Tippin's to organize a case study.
We're going to do it and see if we can confirm that in a very rigorous or a clinical study sort of way that these patients had that kind of response.
As for Tippin's,
I've got now over 40 success stories other than me.
He's sharing his story on an online blog that has already been read more than 100,000 times. Most of the feedback, positive or curious. Some, though, accuse Tippin's of giving cancer patients false hope.
How do I answer that? I mean, if I've saved one other person other than me, it's worth it to me.
All we know for sure is that Joe Tippin's is alive. In time, perhaps we'll also know if this medicine made for man's best friend might also be man's newest cancer cure.
Fascinating. You know, when you're in the fight for your life,
with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.